This is Global Air Force.
Knowing you stand by me through good and bad makes all the difference in my life. And day by day, the little things you do that please me so.
And here's your host, Dr. Jim Rome.
That was a beautiful song, a love song. How does that tie into our program today? Today, Graham Cook is sharing God's love for you and what it really means. You see, God wants to change the way you think. You know, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, around verse 22 on through 25, it tells us to renew the way we think. Continually renew your mind, what you're thinking. Refresh it, improve it. How and in what format should we do that in? Well, it goes on to say in Ephesians 4, think like God thinks. Wow, you mean we can do that? That's the advice of the Bible. I mean, we're not going to be as brilliant as God, but we are to think like Him in His system, in His way, in with His purposes and style. Do you want to do that today? You can learn to do that. Listen to Graham Cook. Today we are presenting the fifth part of Graham Cook Live at the VOP. Now, Graham Cook is a minister that's come to the States from Southampton, England. He's a prophet, a conference speaker. He now works out of the mission as one of the ministries out of the mission in Vacaville, California. Here he is, Graham Cook, live at the VOP.
The voice of our inner man sounds like the Holy Spirit. Scripture provides us with His voice indicators in Galatians 5. Let me read them to you. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's loving, it's joyous, it's peaceful, it's patient, it's full of kindness, it's edifying in its goodness. It's extremely faithful to our identity in Jesus. It's full of gentleness. And it empowers us to take control. It enables us to move in self-control, where we partner with our new self against our old self. Our new nature, with its new voice, takes control over the old self and the stress that it provokes. There's only one voice to hear. And you need to listen to it carefully. Here's the deal about many people. You know, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." Every single blood-bought child in the kingdom needs to know the voice of God. Needs to be able to discern the voice of God. Here's the problem, though. We're listening to other voices. There's only one voice to listen to. And we need to practice that voice. It's the voice that will make you feel happy about yourself, even whilst you're learning how to change. John 15:11, Jesus said that these things I've spoken to you so that my joy might be in you. Which by interpretation means everything I say will make you smile. Everything I say will put a smile on your face. It will make you feel good about yourself. These words I've spoken to you so that my joy might be in you. And your joy might be full. There have been times when God has rebuked me, but it didn't occur to me until a couple of days later that I'd just been told off. If I had those experiences, you think, hang on a minute, this is Friday. On Tuesday, did you tell me off on Tuesday? And the Father just says, yeah, pretty good, huh? I made you feel so great about yourself, you didn't realize I just ticked you off. I just realized it now. So what do? Ah, just carry on enjoying what I want you to enjoy. Every time God speaks to you, it's for your good. It's for your blessing. It's so that your joy might be full. So I think joy should be one of the consequences of receiving the prophetic. That's just an opinion. There is something about you that's utterly irresistible to the Father's heart. There's something about you that moves Him with compassion, with delight, with desire. That's why He puts you into Christ, so you're always accessible. Yeah, always available for some goodness, for some blessing, for some favor. We're a highly favored people. God isn't dealing with our sin, He's dealt with it. Now He's establishing righteousness. Yeah? So everything He's doing with a new nature. So everything we do, we have to do with a new nature. Yeah? That's why it's incredibly immature to get offended. People who are easily offended don't know who they are in Jesus. Because, you know, you have to ask the question, so which self is being offended here? The Bible says that love does not recognize when others do it wrong. That's the new nature. The old nature that feels something and you just wounded me, you offended me, that is not 1 Corinthians 13 talking. That's something else that needs to grow up really badly. And I say that in the nicest possible way. Here's the thing. You are so much better than that old stuff. In fact, you're not that old stuff. So nudge your neighbor and say, could you just shut up? You're dead. You're dead. Some of you are enjoying that a little bit too much. Here's the truth. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So when we're looking at each other right now, we're not looking for signs of sin, because only a Pharisee would do that. We're not looking for signs of something wrong, because only a religious devil would do that. We're looking for signs of Christ. We're looking for whatever is good, of good report, pure, honest, lovely. We're looking for the good stuff. We're not looking for trash, we're looking for treasure. And we're speaking to that treasure. You don't deal with an old voice, you listen for a new one. And there's a difference between your state and your standing. Your state is often how you see yourself in the old nature. We see ourselves as weak, powerless, incapable, inadequate. And the result of that is we feel insecure, inadequate. We develop low self-esteem, like it's another fruit of the Spirit. You ever wondered about those people who always get angry because someone laughs in church? And they're really worried that you'll get over-emotional. You met those people, they warn you about emotionalism. But here's the thing, what about all the people who come to church and they're fearful and they're anxious and they're worried about stuff? Nobody ever accuses them of being emotional. What is that? We like get all around them and we throw them a quick pity party and we're stroking them and blessing them and praying for them. Someone should push their way in and say, dude, stop being emotional. Because it's not allowed in church. So if we're going to squash positive emotions, can we squash all of them as well? I mean, every single one. Let's just bomb the whole lot. Let's nuke every emotion we can find. Then we'll all be like flopping around like jellyfish. because we won't have any strength in our body because joy has left the building. It is bizarre what we think. Can we just ban negative emotions? Like, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to have a church where there's no bitterness? Because that's emotionalism. Where there's no resentment, that's emotionalism. Where there's no fear or anxiety or worry. Wouldn't it be great to have a people group who every time they saw that, they went and dealt with it in the nicest, sweetest way? And couldn't we applaud people smiling and laughing and being joyful? Wouldn't that be great? And if people want to dance in church, it's not exactly a sin. Here's the thing is, there's a difference between our state and our standing. In our state, we see ourselves as weak, powerful, ineffective, inadequate. But in our standing is who we are in Jesus. In our true identity, we are strong, we are powerful, we are favored, we are accepted in the Beloved. We are anointed. We are the Beloved of God. We're in Christ, learning to be Christ-like. Let's celebrate some of that. Let's live as celebrants. People who love to rejoice, love to give thanks, love to see the best. Often in our state, our emotions are overwhelmed by negativity. They get caught up in all these mental filters through which we look at our world. In our standing, it's the passion of Jesus that empowers our emotions as we understand how He thinks of us. That's how we worship. That when you know what God thinks about you, it does something on the inside of you and it makes you want to celebrate. It makes you want to jump for joy. It makes you want to do a yippee during communion. You know, Shakespeare, that well-known English apostle. Shakespeare wrote, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." Here's the thing about Jesus. In Christ, we are aligned with the Father's perception of Jesus. That's what it means to be Christ-like in our thinking. We are aligned with the Father's perception of Jesus. There is a reason God put you into Christ. It is so that He could think of you in the same way that He thinks of Jesus. He's not dealing with your sin, He's dealt with it. Now He's establishing your righteousness. Now He's teaching you how to be holy. Now He's teaching you how to live in His favor, in His blessing, in His acceptance, in His approval. He's teaching that you are the Beloved of God. He's teaching you your place in the earth. He's teaching you an ascended lifestyle in the Spirit. So that you are seated above, far above principalities and powers. God doesn't want you always trying to press through stuff. He wants you actually to raise you to live above it. Here's the thing. We have evolved this whole pastoral ministry that is about getting set free. But you're free, for goodness sake, now. Pastoral ministry is not so much about getting free. It's about learning how to stay free. Pastoral ministry is about you learning an ascended lifestyle. It's you learning the way that God thinks. It's you taking on His perceptions. It's you deliberately moving towards being Christ-like in every situation. It's you learning how to walk in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and loving it. Pastoral ministry is concerned that you actually have a brilliant life. Shall I read you something else in the Bible? Okay, listen to this. This will absolutely blow your socks off. You ready? Ephesians 4, verse 20. But you didn't learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Here's the thing. God does not want us working on the old self. He wants us to lay it aside. Lay it aside. You were too bad to be cleansed. You had to be crucified. God is not fixing you up. He's not trying to improve you. He killed you off. He's talking to the new you, the true you, the real you in Jesus. And he says to you, listen, I don't want to give you six ways to manage your anger. I want to teach you how to be gentle. He doesn't want us in anger management class. He wants us to stand at our own grave and dance on it because anger is beneath the surface. You're dead. You are so dead. You understand? He's not dealing with your old self. He's telling you, you have permission to lay this aside. Lay it aside. Be renewed in the way that you think so that you can put on the new self. We're dealing with the new self. I was talking to a guy who was bitter and resentful at being fired from his job. At the same time, he's like wallowing in the self-pity about the, here I am, I'm 57 years old, and I'll never be able to get a job with a similar standard of living. And so this is all I'm hearing. He's bitter at his old company, and he's wallowing in self-pity. It's like, heads the enemy wins, tails he loses. Okay, that went down like a rat sandwich. Here's my question to him. So, all right, man, what does the Lordship of Jesus mean to you right now? Because there is an encounter with Jesus on offer for all of us right now. But if you choose the old nature, he's not prepared to deal with that because he's already dealt with it. You ever wondered why you keep going round in circles? It's because God is not in what you're seeking. You want him to deal with the old nature, and he's just looking at you saying, but I did that. So you're over here. I'm actually working over here. Why don't you just come into alignment with me? Why don't you see what I see when I look at you? Yeah? So what does the Lordship of Jesus mean to you right now? Here's the thing. What if you didn't get fired? What if God released you from a job you would never have left so you could do something better? That's a great thought right there. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, did you like the job that you were doing? He said, no, I hated it. Were you fulfilled in this job? Well, not really. So, you plank. What are you so upset about? Feels like you just got a get out of jail free card. And you're mad? Okay, so God has released you from a job you didn't like to do something that you would. Why don't we think about that? We're so used to thinking from our old nature. It's almost second nature to us. Here's the thing. You don't have an old nature. It's dead. You don't have a sin nature. It's dead. You have a sin habit. You have a habit of thinking in ways that kill you in the wrong possible way. In Christ, we are learning to keep all our thinking inside the boundaries of God's love and grace and kindness and mercy, so that we are empowered by his goodness towards us in Jesus, and our emotions come from a heart that's full of rejoicing, thanksgiving, and gratitude. There is a reason why God is always commanding us to rejoice. Because when we rejoice, our thinking goes to a whole different place. All our emotions should be touched by joy. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There is a reason why James says to us, you have the permission of the Father to count it all as joy. Because if you learn to see the joy that God has in you, in every situation that you're in, your capacity to receive transformation in those circumstances will be hugely upgraded. So I read you something else from the Bible. Hope you can stand all this Bible reading. Colossians 3 and verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. We're laying aside the old, and we're only dealing with the new you, the true you, the real you, the Jesus in you. That's who we're dealing with. We don't have a sin problem. We have a problem with beauty and majesty. We don't realize how beautiful we are to God and how majestic his love is towards us. But we're in Christ and we're learning to be Christ-like. Yeah? We should have fun doing that. Because here's the thing. We're believers. I know, I think that came as a shock to some of you. But we're actually believers. I know. So here's a thought. Could we please believe something good? Yeah? Because that would be really helpful. Your wife really wants you to. We're believers. That means we choose to believe God regardless of events. Here's the thing. When you're anxious, fearful, offended, which self is running the show? We do not allow our beliefs to be challenged by our circumstances. We allow them to be strengthened. We challenge our circumstances by what we believe about who God is for us. My favorite question is to the Lord is, so what is it you want to be for me now? My eldest brother, Derek, I found out just about a week ago. He has stage 4 cancer in his kidneys, in his liver, in his ribs. Some of his ribs are starting to crumble. He's on so much morphine right now. He's on 4 times the dose. If they give him any more, his heart could collapse. He's back in the UK. Now, my brother is a pre-Christian. That means he's not made up his mind about the love of God yet. I've been talking to him for a while. And so he called me and he told me. And I said, so what is it you're expecting me to say to you? He said, I'm expecting you to tell me, to talk to me about eternity. I said, dude, you're like 9/10 there. This is your moment. He said, you think I'll die? I said, not if I've got anything to do with it. Here's the thing. Here's the real question. What is it that God wants to be for you now that you've got cancer, that you wouldn't let him be for you any other time? That's your question. When I get across to England, I'll be expecting an answer. But you and I, we're going to sit down, and we're going to talk about eternity. And we're going to talk about healing and health and wholeness. I'm going to talk about who God is for you and what he wants to be for you. And then you're going to change your life, or I'll kill you myself. I will kill you joyfully and FedEx you to Jesus. Do you know how tiring it is trying to stir up your old self to rejoice? I just thought I'd throw that one out there. You know how tiring it is trying to stir up your old man to rejoice? If you're going to learn the power of rejoicing, then you must let go of being upset, anxious, tired, and feeling down. Put them away, because they belong to the old nature. You live in a space with God where you can run and not be weary. You can walk and not be faint. You can learn to rejoice in the Lord always. And then just for fun, do it all over again. You can learn to give thanks in everything. See the joy in everything. Be filled with the peace of God that passes all understanding. Have a life that's abundant in the love and the grace and the goodness of God. That everywhere you look, you see where God is. That you see him everywhere. Here's the issue for us. How do you seek the Lord when he never leaves you nor forsakes you? Huh? It means that you learn to look for him joyfully in every single situation, because you know that you know that you know that you know that He is there. Why? How do you know that? Because you yourself are a habitation in the Spirit. You're a habitation of God in the Spirit. Here's the issue before us in the American church. We have to stop being Christians with an Old Testament mindset of visitation and realize that we are Christians, we're in a new covenant that is bent on habitation. And can we stop asking God to come and start rejoicing that He's here? And can we stop asking Him to pour out His Spirit when He already has done? And can we learn to stay refreshed? Can we just get filled up every day because it's fun? Can we ask God to fill me with Your Spirit today and live refreshed and live renewed and live restored and live happy and be free, free enough to victimize everybody in the world with our freedom? Free enough in the love of God to pour love out to everyone that we meet, that no one will be safe from Jesus when we're around.
That was wonderful, Graham. Oh, we thank You for the wonderful ministry. We thank You, Lord, for the wonderful anointing and wisdom that You've given to this man and that we can hear and share.
So, until we meet again, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. You can contact Dr. Rome or today's guest by logging on to www.globalairforce.net. Once again, the website is www.globalairforce.net.
You better check and find out why.